Welcome back to the Killer Frogs Killer Minute, a Fan Nation college football podcast brought to you weekly by KillerFrogs.com. I'm Brett Gibbons, and I'm once again joined by Nate Cross. Nate, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm great. I'm excited to talk about quarterbacks and quarterback battles, and we will have a decent discussion to have about TCU. Maybe it's a non-battle, maybe it is a battle. I want to get your thoughts on this. To those that have been with Killer Frogs for a long time, our like most dedicated listeners, Nate and I had a spirited debate last year, maybe in a couple of weeks from now, maybe not quite this early, about Max Duggan and Chandler Morris. I took the Chandler Morris side. Nate took the correct side and had a terrific argument for Max Duggan. I think Duggan, safe to say, exceeded expectations.
For sure. He definitely exceeded expectations last year.
I think it was a more interesting conversation to have about TCU last year because they had two capable guys, and you know, we saw how that unfurled. So I want to talk about TCU again. I don't know if it's as much as a quarterback battle this year per se, not like it was last year for sure, not much controversy with this one, but I guess my first question to you is this the job for Chandler Morris? Is it his to lose?
I mean, yeah, it's his job. I mean, he's set behind Max Duggan for 2 years now. And I think it's his time to shine, whether he takes it and runs with it or whether he loses it for himself. I mean, that's up to him. And I don't think he really got the fair chance last year with Max Duggan exceeding expectations. And I mean, you didn't see Chandler Morris come back in as much as you would have hoped to get him ready. And there were some games that I wish they would have put him in and just to get him ready for this season coming up. But I think Morris is more than ready. But I think there's some talented quarterbacks in this TCU depth chart that will challenge him, which is very, very good for TCU because it'll push him to be better. And you've seen him working with people like Peyton Manning and people like Camps. And that's exciting to note because you see that he's working hard in the offseason to be that level that he needs to be.
Surely. And TCU could be in a lot worse place than they are with their quarterback room. I think they have a few talented guys, some veterans. I want to harken back to an episode that I did with our other co-writer, Tori Couch. And I had mentioned something about the quarterback room not being very old. And I had said Chandler Morris is part of that not very old group. That's a mistake. He's a senior. I like forget that he's a senior because I think about, first of all, that Baylor game, and we'll talk about it here in a second, seemed like it was yesterday. And I could have sworn at that time, it's like this incoming freshman. But no, that is not true. He is a full-on senior. So pardon me for anybody that might have been punching the air while I was talking about some young quarterback rooms and Chandler Morris. But he's young in experience. And you talked about that a little bit. You'd like to see him get in a little bit more last year. I think especially as the year went on toward the end of the year, TCU was kind of like, hey, we kind of want Max to be this Heisman contender. And if we're taking him out early, you know, he may not have the robust resume enough to be in Heisman consideration. So I don't know if that's necessarily what they did. I'm kind of making that up. But let's talk about Chandler Morris's resume a little bit. He won the job at the beginning of last year. If we remember again, it's so hard to remember because of the season that Duggan had that Chandler Morris actually won the week one starting job. He went 11 for 20 against Colorado 100. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm looking the wrong 13 for 20, 111 yards, no touchdowns. And then it was the Max Duggan show after that. But Chandler Morris does have that game against Baylor, the one that I just talked about, 460 yards passing, 70 more on the ground, three total touchdowns, and a huge upset over a very highly ranked Baylor team in Fort Worth. So I think we kind of have maybe rose-colored glasses for Chandler Morris because of that game, but we definitely know what his ceiling is, and it's a very high ceiling. So that's kind of exciting to get him in there, and I think he has the athletic ceiling, maybe not quite the same athleticism as Max Duggan, or at least not the same kind of, what would you call it? I guess grittiness to you know, make those athletic plays seem a little bit more exciting because he's willing to put his shoulder down and run guys over. But we've talked about Chandler Morris. So you do believe that this is kind of his job to lose, barring injury, God forbid, any of those kind of things, correct?
For sure. And I mean, I think it's his to lose and I think it's his time to shine. Now it's what Chandler Morris wants to do with that and take it and run with it. And like I said, I mean, he's been working his butt off in the offseason. So I'm excited to see what he has to offer here.
Yeah, and I like the position that TCU is in because, you know, this is for a future episode, but they do have Haas Haney coming in, a very highly touted recruit out of Aledo, I believe, right? Aledo?
Yes, he's out of Aledo.
Yeah, so he's inbound. He's not quite here yet. Has to play out his senior year of high school yet, but very excited to have him wearing purple and black here coming soon. But someone that we do have on the roster who is also a highly touted recruit, Josh Hoover. He's a rising sophomore. TCU flipped his commitment from Indiana in December of 2021, just ahead of last year. He's from Rockwall, so it's not the most shocking commitment flip. You know, we kind of brought him back home, just like you did with JoJo Earl, just like we did with some of these other guys who are coming back to the DFW Metroplex who are from here. Josh Hoover is not the biggest kid. He's a 6'1", 206. You know, you'd like to see your Division I quarterbacks maybe a little bit bigger than that, but man, does this kid have a rocket arm. He can just sling this thing all over the shop. I think he sits in a good position behind Chandler Morris to be able to learn for a year or two because, again, he has no starting experience. He has, like, no playing experience at the FBS level. But he's an exciting prospect. And, you know, I know our team was pretty excited when we were able to flip his commitment from Indiana. What are your thoughts on Josh Hoover?
From seeing Josh Hoover last year at practices, I really like the way he throws the ball.
Yeah, he can spin it.
Yeah, and we had a pretty big line last year, so it was difficult for him at times to see over them. And you could see that at practice that he would get out of the pocket. And I felt like he took like a little more like charge, like a more pro-style quarterback type of deal than Chandler. But he wasn't afraid to take a hit when he ran. And I think that was like key for Josh Hoover. He's a little more stout, if that makes sense. And I think he has a better arm than a lot of quarterbacks in the Big 12. So, I mean, he could definitely be exciting for TCU in the future or even this year if things go haywire. Hopefully not, but it definitely could be an option for TCU.
Yeah, and for those looking for just a fun activity in the evening, if you got 8 minutes, I think it is, the tape is, to kill and you just want to watch something fun, go watch Josh Hoover's 24/7 sports highlight tape from his junior year. I mean, when I say rocket arm, this dude is flinging it as a junior in high school about 65 yards on a dime. It's a lot of fun to watch. I watched it earlier today. It was quite exciting. But the other guy on the roster that I'm excited about, this isn't the only guy left in the quarterback room here, but Chance Nolan, he's a transfer. He came in. We talked about him on the transfer episode with Torrey Couch. He has 21 career starts, suffered a neck injury last year at Oregon State. Unfortunately, that ended his year. He's a good-sized quarterback. He's 6'3", 6'4", pretty big guy. Awesome decision-maker. Not the most athletic, again, like Josh Hoover. He's kind of more of the pocket passer, except he's big enough so he doesn't need to escape the pocket and make those throws. I like him a lot just because he has a lot of starting experience. And that, you know, when I said that he was the veteran in the locker room, maybe not in age over Chandler Morris, but definitely in starting experience. And I thought he was one of the biggest transfers that TCU could get, maybe have one of the bigger impacts, kind of guide Chandler Morris on how to approach being a starter. Interestingly, though, on our lads, they don't list Chance Nolan on the 3-deep quarterback depth chart. You're really plugged in with the program. Where do you think he stands on that depth chart? Is he really that far back, or is he the backup kind of, you know, it's not set yet, but what have you seen so far this summer?
Well, I haven't really seen a lot of his name out there, which has been weird to me. But what I do know is that injury has really set him back. And like a lot of people were saying, a lot of these quarterbacks don't come back from those injuries. So he's putting a lot of work in, but it's more like a recovery standpoint still. And he's throwing, but he's not like doing the reps that Chandler or Josh Hoover are doing. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's far down the list to start the year, but as the season progresses and as he gets healthier, and if we need him, see him climb up that list and potentially be second string or even starter towards the end of the season if we need him. But I think that he serves a role like Andy Dalton does in the NFL, like almost like a mentor leader. And a lot of his like old coaches from Oregon State say that he's a leader and he's willing to do whatever it takes to win. And I think that's key of what TCU needs, especially for Chandler. he had Max Duggan, and Max Duggan always cheered him up, put him up to his full potential. And I think Nolan will continue to do that for both of these quarterbacks. And even though Chandler is still older, I mean, he sat down at OU a couple years, and I mean, he's old, but I think he'll still need that mentorship as he goes throughout the year.
Yeah, for sure. And that was a neck injury for Chance Nolan, a season ending neck injury. It's not one like there's, you know, a broken ankle, or you saw Dak Prescott, the horrific broken leg that he had. You know, the quarterbacks kind of come back and they're a little, you know, afraid. They kind of tiptoe around it. And, you know, Dak hasn't really had the mobility since that injury. But dude, a neck injury, that messes with your mind then. Now you're thinking, you know, the next hit I take could be the last. So I totally get a Chance taking a step back and being like, you know what? I'm just going to get healthy. I'm going to be a part of a good program that's going to win a lot of football games and be in a good position. And, you know, he has a high safety net. If he has to come in and start a game, I wouldn't really take TCU down that many points. If we're talking maybe from a betting perspective, you know, he represents some points down, but it's not like they're going to go from, well, it's supposed to be a close game, maybe a 3-point spread, to all of a sudden, oh, they're going to get killed. It's 14-point spread. They don't have their quarterback. He represents a lot higher floor than that. And that's why I like him on the roster. Really hope we can see him healthy, 100% confident this fall. But Chance Nolan is kind of the third guy I want to talk about there. Certainly not the last one that's in the quarterback room. But if you had to pick one of these guys, let's say it's not Chandler Morris. I'm not going to say, let's say it's an injury, because I'm not going to wish that on him. But let's say it's not Chandler Morris. Who, or I should say, which other quarterback would you be most confident in being the starter?
I would definitely say Chance Nolan. I love Josh Hoover. But throwing him into a position where TCU is in the Big 12 with all these new teams coming in, I don't really like him in that position getting thrown in there. He needs to watch a little more and sit behind quarterbacks a little more before we just throw him out in the game. And especially if, like, hopefully not, but like Chandler gets hurt during the middle of a game, putting him in there without him starting the game, I mean, he has to get the feel first. He has to get warmed up. I mean, that's a big, like, adrenaline rush. I don't like him in that situation. Nolan's seeing it all. He's taken hits. He got an injury, so, I mean, he knows what that feels like. I mean, he knows what to expect, and I like him more in that position. And so I would rather see Chance Nolan, but I wouldn't throw Josh Hoover out of it. But I just don't think he's quite ready to do that yet.
For sure.
That's my stance.
And even though he played, you know, high level 6A high school football in the DFW Metroplex, you know, that's almost as close to collegiate football as you can get in high school, save for maybe Miami-Dade or IMG Academy in Bradenton or SoCal at some of these places. You know, it's still a different speed, especially in the Big 12. These guys move at a different speed. The game processes differently. So, yeah, I think I agree with you. I would like to see Chance Nolan maybe be that fail safe. God forbid we need it, but I think that he's probably more ready, like you said, to be able to come in at halftime and be confident and be able to conduct the offense. Or, you know, with Hoover, and I'm not saying that this is the case, but he may walk in there and the lights may be a little bit bright for him, especially if it's a, you know, a tough game against Texas or the likes. So, fortunately, outside of injury, I mean, Chandler Morris is not going to lose his job in the first beginning of the game, unless he's playing really poorly. Because here's the first seven games for TCU: Colorado, Nichols, who's FCS, Houston, SMU, West Virginia, Iowa State, BYU. In the first five games, zero teams that finished in the top 100 in scoring defense. Pretty nice start, pretty cushy start to be able to figure it out. And then BYU was 86th in scoring defense, but their defense was a lot worse than that. Iowa State finished pretty highly, but TCU hung over 60 points on them. So it's, you know, they're not exactly playing a murderer's row of defenses to start. So I think, you know, if for some crazy reason, like you said, things go haywire and Josh Hoover has to start, he could certainly have a more difficult row of teams to start against. So I think whoever starts the season is going to put up some pretty nice numbers here in the first 7 weeks. I guess just, is there any chance that Chandler Morris doesn't start week one, or that he doesn't make it through these 7 weeks of, you know, favorable defenses barring injury? Let's throw injury out. Any chance that he doesn't win it?
I mean, I don't think he's safe yet per se, but I think he's the guy. but I don't even think Chandler says he's safe, because earlier last year when they were just getting into the offseason, he doesn't even think he was going to like be the solidified starter, especially with Nolan coming in. And he said that himself. But I think you could see a mixture of quarterbacks in the first few games. Like Chandler puts up some good numbers and they take him out. So, I mean, even though he's going to be the starting guy, I think Sony Dykes and the rest of the offense will figure it out and see what TCU needs. And Chandler still may be the better quarterback, but is it what they need, or the play style that they need to be successful? I don't know. But I think it is Chandler's job, and I think he's earned it, and he's been a good teammate about it, and he's been there for the team and hasn't decided to transfer out. And I thought show that's a good character. So I think he's the guy to lead this team.
Yeah, I'm not a Sonny Dykes coach. I didn't just take a Power 5 program to the national championship my first year of coaching. So I'm not speaking from collegiate coaching experience here, but I think it kind of makes sense if you're blowing out, let's say, Nichols in week two. I think it makes more sense to get Josh Hoover in there for, you know, some reps and some experience instead of Chance Nolan. And maybe that's why Hoover's listed second on the depth chart. The guys at Our Lives, that's all they do. They make accurate depth charts. What they say goes. What they put down there, I trust, unless the team says otherwise. But yeah, I think that'd be an interesting strategy in there. I think I'd rather see Hoover at the end of games against like Colorado or Nichols, you know, God willing, us be in a position to be able to put him in. So that's TCU's quarterback battle. It's interesting to parse out. I don't even know if it's really truly a battle. Like you said, it's probably Chandler's to lose barring anything, but I do like how he's not like, yes, I am the starter, because that you know, that's a competitive mindset. And the second that you say, yeah, my job's safe, it's not safe anymore. So I like to hear the insight from that. I love it. Let's talk about the Big 12 as a whole, because there's a couple. There's actually not a lot, but there's a couple. There's one really big one that's been all over headlines: Texas. Now, is it Quinn Ewers or is it Arch Manning? There's a third guy in this race that I think is actually better today than Arch Manning. That's Malik Murphy. Dude is a freak. If you've seen pictures of him, this dude spins the ball. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's a monster, jacked. If he doesn't make it at Texas, I know he's commented on this, and I want to play at Texas. If he doesn't make it at Texas, there are plenty of spots that are available for Malik Murphy if he wants to start in Power 5. Plenty. But right now, Ewers is QB1. That's been confirmed, but he had a rough end last season. And if you come in and you have two bad games, it's a battle now. So even if Ewers starts off slow, like I said, he played poorly at the end of the year. Should this even be a discussion? Should Arch Manning even be a discussion?
I mean, I don't think Texas's quarterbacks are solidified. Like, their room is not solidified. Even though the coaches have said Quinn Ewers is the guy, I think the leash is very short, and I think it will be short for Arch Manning as well. I think it will be a testing season, especially before they go to the SEC. I think it will be a testing season, and I agree with you. I think Malik Murphy is much better than Arch Manning is right now.
Yeah.
Arch Manning is hyped up because of his name, and so is Quinn Ewers, because he was high prospect coming out of high school. But I think Malik Murphy could potentially be their starter towards the end of the year, if you ask me. And I think each one of these quarterbacks has potential, but the way Ewers played last year, it was nothing special and nothing to brag about. I mean, the way he played against TCU, I mean, it was not pretty. They could easily beat the Frogs, and arguably they should have. But he could not get the job done, fumbling, throwing interceptions, just not getting it to his star receivers. And so I think if he has the first two bad games, I think he will be benched. And I think one of the other two quarterbacks will see an opportunity to see if they can lead this Longhorn team.
Now, I should say that Ewers was injured. He got injured against Alabama in week two. And I do believe that that affected a lot of what he did throughout season. Now, I did see some bad decision-making. I'm a personal believer in Quinn Ewers. I think he can be a really, really good quarterback. I think we've seen flashes of him being not just good, but great, especially in that first half against Alabama. I mean, he was putting that ball wherever he wanted to. He was in command of that game. Gets injured. I don't know if that affects everything. I don't know if it was maybe a shake in confidence that happened at the beginning of the year, but when he came back from injury, he was completing 59% of his passes. That can't happen when you have a cast of receivers like you alluded to at Texas. And that cast of receivers has only gotten better with A.D. Mitchell and J.T. Sanders. I mean, like, this is now I'm blocking out the Ohio State stuff behind me. I am a born and raised Ohio State fan, and I do believe Ohio State has the best receivers room in the country. But beyond them, Texas probably has the best cast of receivers. And when you factor in those running backs, J.T. Sanders, all those guys, I think, I mean, take a shot if you heard this before, but they look really good on paper. They have really good. They have a great, talented team on paper. We'll see if they can put it together. But if someone is to rise up, do you think that the calls for Arch to start, which will exist, and it's not necessarily just going to be from the crowd, but it's going to be from the people that pay the bills at Texas, do you think that that's going to be influential enough for him to make the jump over Malik Murphy prematurely? Do you think that that is a realistic possibility?
I mean, I think that is a realistic possibility. I mean, it's just like Deion Sanders' name at Colorado. They wanted Deion Sanders. They got what they want. Now they're selling out the season tickets.
Yeah, they sure are.
I mean, Arch Manning's going to make ticket sales go up. I mean, you'll probably see his uncles at the games. I mean, that's going to be exciting for Texas fans. I mean, there's going to be jersey sales. I mean, there's going to be everything. And I mean, if especially with the price that he's going to get and the donors that he'll get himself, they'll push for him. And I think that will get him the edge over Malik Murphy. But I don't think that takes away from Malik Murphy's ability. And I still think he's a great quarterback and he has amazing potential. Even if it's not at Texas, he'll find a home. And so I'm not worried about him. So I think he will get the edge, but I don't think it's for say because he's better right now. I think it's just because he has the name and he's got the donor support.
Yeah, I'm with you. And we all know, and you know, people are UT fans are probably going to be angry at this, but we know who runs the show at Texas. It's not the coaches. It's not even Del Conte. It's the boosters. That's who runs the show specifically. They run the show at a lot of places, but specifically at Texas. And I think that is why they've underachieved for so long, because you just had the people with the deepest pockets making the call. And Malik Murphy gives Texas a better chance to win than perhaps any quarterback on the roster. And I mean that with Ewers included, perhaps. It was a spring game. It's a lot of hype. It's a lot of workout videos. I know I'm probably drinking a little bit too much of the juice with Malik Murphy, but he looks like a stud to me. The other one I just wanted to touch on, I personally don't think it's very interesting. I apologize, West Virginia fans, but the West Virginia quarterback battle, Garrett Green, Markiole. I'm probably butchered that pronunciation. Two guys I personally have not heard of. I don't know that Morgantown is super excited for the quarterback room this year. They're kind of a team that missed out on the transfer portal. JT Daniels left for Rice, which at first is kind of a head scratcher, but then you realize, wow, he's going to one of the premier institutions in the country, you know, to play football at a lower level than he's used to. But, you know, he's going to get a terrific degree to pair with his USC and UGA and all those degrees that he's got. What are your expectations for West Virginia this coming season? And anything really exciting?
I really don't think there's much to really hype them up for, but you never know. I mean, there's teams that are surprising. I mean, Kansas State would have never thought that Will Howard would have stood up the way he did
for them. TCU with Max Duggan
or TCU. Exactly. Like right. For Max Duggan. So, I mean, I'm not putting them down and any player can shine at any time, but right now looking at these two players, they shouldn't be too excited but they should need something quick or their coach will be gone.
Yeah.
So these quarterbacks need to stand up.
Yeah. We talked about the Neil Brown situation. If you want to go back and listen to our episode 3, coaching changes, we kind of talked about Neil Brown's standing in Morgantown, what they think of him there. And if you want to hear, in case my tone wasn't a hint enough about what I think about West Virginia for this coming season, you can go back and listen to our win totals episode that just came out before this one. this isn't a camp battle, but I did at least want to mention one big name that's within the Big 12, at least for this year. We probably won't get to see him as a member of the Big 12. Jackson Arnold, five-star quarterback, highly coveted from Denton Geyer. He's with Oklahoma now. Again, like the Texas situation, we've seen it in Oklahoma already where the calls got loud enough for the backup that he became the starter, and then he turned into a Heisman Trophy winner at USC. We all know the Caleb Williams story. I guess it could be a discussion if Dylan Gabriel struggles in Norman, maybe rising Jackson Arnold. I don't think Dylan Gabriel is going to struggle. He's pretty sound. He's a veteran. He can sling it. So I don't really think that's camp battle. I did just want to mention, though, Jackson Arnold. That's a name to mention as Oklahoma transitions into the SEC. We don't have much time, but I did want to talk about it a little bit here. Just some of the national battles. I'm going to run through these really quick, and I'm going to ask you some quick questions about them. Ohio State. They got Kyle McCord, Devin Brown. Devin Brown missed the spring with an injury, and I think it's presumed to be Kyle McCord's job. Kyle McCord, he's a junior four-star out of Philadelphia. He actually played high school football with Marvin Harrison Jr. in Philadelphia, his number one receiver. I think that's going to be a great mesh there. Alabama, boy, this is the second biggest mess, in my opinion. We'll get to the biggest mess here soon. But they had Jalen Milroe versus Ty Simpson. Neither one of them played very well in spring ball. They actually got sacked 9 times. I think that says more about the offensive line than it does about either of them. But then they added Tyler Buckner, who I think is okay. He came in from Notre Dame, followed offensive coordinator Tommy Rees there. Ty Simpson, he's a five-star from Tennessee. He's already a junior. So I think if he doesn't win the battle here, he's probably out. And then like I said, Tyler Buckner came in after spring. I kind of think it might be his job to lose, but that's not a great quarterback situation in Alabama. Georgia's more cut and dry. Carson Beck, he appears to be the quarterback one. Listening to the Georgia beat, it's just kind of his job to lose. He's the backup last year. Brock Vandegrift is the other guy. He's a four-star sophomore. Either guy just has an insane amount of people to throw to. Ole Miss. This is a mess. They have incumbent Jackson Dart, who I am not impressed with. Twitter hates me for it. I've gotten yelled at many times by Ole Miss Twitter about Jackson Dart. Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State, interestingly transferred in there, along with highly touted recruit from LSU, Walker Howard. Just a mess. We don't even have time to dive in too much into what's going on there. But of these battles, or of just the battles in general, which one interests you the most?
I have three. I mean, it's Ole Miss, Alabama, and Texas. Ole Miss, for the reason I don't think Jackson Dart will ever, I'm not going to say ever, but I don't really think he should see the playing field again.
Careful. Twitter's going to come after you.
I'll be careful.
Vicious.
I'll be careful.
They made fun of what I was wearing in the video in which I talked about him. Insanity.
I just don't think he's the guy, and especially with Spencer Sanders there and Walker Howard transferring in. I think Walker Howard is better than Jackson Dart. I'm just going to leave that there.
I'm with you. I think Walker Howard's great. I think he can be a really good quarterback.
I agree. And, I mean, for Alabama, I think they should be very concerned. If you're Nick Saban, you should be concerned, because if you have two bad years in a row for Alabama, they're starting to get a little feisty there.
For Saban? He's not really?
They're going to start complaining about that. And then for Texas, I really don't think they're thinking about their future really much more than the name. So I think they should be careful there, because they could miss out and then lose a quarterback that they probably shouldn't. Right. So I think they should be careful. But that's my takes on all those.
And of all the quarterback battles nationally, which one do you think directly impacts the team's success the most?
I think Texas and Ole Miss are on the brink of being elite. Not just good. I think they're on the brink of being elite with the talents that they have, with the running back room, receiver room. It's all there. The pieces are there, but they're just lacking a quarterback and being solidified. And I think if they can figure that out, some teams better watch out, especially within their division, because they can make some noise.
Yeah, I'm with you. We saw what Ole Miss looked like when they had Matt Corral, Sugar Bowl. They were awesome. They got shut down because he got hurt. But yeah, I mean, Ole Miss, when they have a great, talented quarterback in there, plays a lot better than getting killed in the Texas Bowl. This is quickly becoming an anti-Ole Miss podcast. And I don't want it to be, because I love college football as a whole. But we just see what happens when they have a serviceable quarterback versus a very good quarterback. Like you look at Georgia, they're probably going to win 11 or 12 games either way. You look at Ohio State, they're going to win 10, 11, 12 games, no matter who suits up a quarterback. It's kind of a plug. It's very strange, those kind of top elite programs. It all of a sudden becomes a plug and play for the most important position in all of sports. But I'm with you. Yeah, I think if Texas can get it sorted out, just what they have, oh man, they should be really good. They should be really good anyway. But, you know, stop me if you've heard that before, which we all have. So. But thanks, everyone, for tuning into another episode of the Killer Frogs Killer Minute College Football Podcast. You can find our work at killerfrogs.com. You can find us on Twitter at Killer Frogs. I am at Road to CFB. You can find Nate at NateCross47483. And continue this conversation over on Facebook. I know people listening have opinions. I just crap talked Ole Miss for a while. We talked Texas football. People have opinions. So let them be heard over on Facebook. Tweet at us. Just be nice about it, please. Don't make fun of what we're wearing. That tells me you have no argument. So, but if you liked what you heard, please subscribe to us over on the podcast app of your choice, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever else you use. Drop a review. That's going to be our most direct way, our most helpful way to grow, reach other TCU fans, Big 12 fans, and college football fans as a whole. Check back next week for the next episode of the Killer Frogs College Football Podcast. I'm Brett Gibbons. That is Nate Cross, and we will catch you all next time.